Good evening, fellow Wahoos and ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my always jovial co-host, Jim Hobgood, good old number 33. And in fact, tonight is our 33rd edition of our show. So tonight's show
is the special Hobbo edition.
Tonight, we'll take you behind the scenes to take a closer look at UVA athletics. Spring football practice climaxes this Saturday with the big spring festival, 2 p.m. at Scott Stadium. Three UVA sports teams are number one in the nation. The tennis and lacrosse teams have been rolling right along. But new news today, the women's crew team at UVA has ascended to number one, which makes the fifth Cavalier program to be ranked number one in the nation.
Ascended, paddled, whatever they did to get to be number one.
They're terrific. That's all I got to say. Baseball is now ranked number four, but looking to bounce back with some big games this week and a huge series this weekend against Georgia Tech. And fellow Wahoo, Steve Marino, who was on our show last week, is competing in the Masters tomorrow at 9:07 a.m., playing with none other than Tom Watson. What a thrill that's got to be for Steve Marino. And what a wild season this is in its entirety. Jim, take it away.
Absolutely. This is Hobbo. We have another really big show for those of you that remember Ed Sullivan. And I realize there aren't many of you out there that remember good old Ed. We're delighted to have UVA assistant coach Anthony Poindexter, one of the UVA football icons. He'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour, and coming up shortly will be the Saber editor, Chris Wright. Both of those guests tonight will be talking, we'll discuss Virginia football, spring practice, bring us up to speed with what's going on, and of course talking about the upcoming spring game, which will occur this Saturday. In the meantime, Frank will tell you how you can follow Who's Talking.
Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. So you can pick us up almost anywhere now. We encourage our listeners to send their comments via email to whostalking@sportsradio910.com, or you can always call in to 345-0910. And tonight we're looking for your calls. We've got some great guests. We've got a lot of interesting topics, not only the spring teams, but obviously spring football. So call 345-0910. All previous shows are archived on thesaber.com.
That's both good and bad.
Yep. And we have a Facebook page, so search Who's Talking and become a fan. Your questions, comments, and general feedback are incorporated in the improvement of this show.
We're trying to negotiate a deal to destroy some of those early tapes, but, you know, nevertheless. But at any rate, the UVA football team has been practicing hard since March 15th. Seven practices have been or were open to the public, and then, of course, the public scrimmage down at Old Dominion University in Norfolk was a big success. And as we said earlier, the spring football game is at 2 o'clock this Saturday, and I think the actual team will take the field at 12:30.
That is correct.
So some folks will probably get there early to watch some of the workout, the early warm-ups and things of that sort. I think we already have Chris Wright on the line with us, so maybe we go ahead and introduce Chris and start asking him some questions about the spring football. Chris, as we said earlier, is the editor of thesaber.com, formerly a sports writer with the Daily Progress. He's also the women's basketball coach at Western Albemarle High School. I always have to get that basketball thing in there, you know.
Yep.
Covers the UVA football program like a hot hawk. I think he's been to most, if not all, of the practices, certainly the ones that have been open to the public. And, of course, the Saber is one of our sponsors and a media partner. I guess we're a media partner with them. I don't know if
That's correct.
A media partner with us, but we certainly appreciate their support.
Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm with you. How are you guys doing?
Chris, it's good to have you back. It's been probably a month and a half or so since we've last had you on air, but we talk to you all the time, and our listeners know that we consistently reference your remarks in our shows, and we've certainly enjoyed having you on the air with us over time and getting to know you better. And let's talk about the spring football and Mike London's first spring as the Cavaliers head coach. And just some general thoughts, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. What do you notice?
Yeah, we're kind of like completely shifting gears. You know, last year this time it was, I think they threw like 75, 80 times at the spring game. I doubt we'll be anywhere near that number this Saturday. They're going back to a more of a pro-style, multiple sets type of offense. You know, so you'll see some sets with a fullback and a running back, and you'll see some sets with a two wide receivers and a tight end, or three wide receivers and a fullback. They're going to mix up those type of looks, and then do different things out of it. Some of it will be power football, with a fullback leading the way into the hole, which we haven't seen a lot this decade at Virginia. That's something that Virginia did some with like an H-back, with like a Tom Santee type, would lead through the hole every now and then. But I think we'll see a lot more of that, power running. And then, you know, mix in some quick passes, some deep balls, you know, some, you know, flares out to the running backs. It'll be like a mixture of things that they're trying to accomplish. But the main thing Coach London keeps saying, and Coach Lazor has said as well, is we just want to get the playmakers the ball as quickly as we can, and see what they can do with it.
Speaking of playmakers, I'm sure everybody wants to know, in your opinion, based upon what you've seen, and I've seen one of the practices. I didn't go to the scrimmage at ODU, but based upon what you're seeing and hearing, who are the skilled players in this offense? And we're all assuming that Mark Verica is going to be the quarterback, right?
Yeah, I think Mark Verica is definitely the leader in the clubhouse. He just looks the most comfortable out there. I don't guess that's surprising. There's only three guys working at quarterback full-time this spring.
Right.
And two of those three have never been in a football game on the college level. Michael Strauss just got here in January, period, in the college period in January. So, you know, I think Verica looks more comfortable because he's been through this a whole bunch of times. With him at the helm, you're going to have to go, you know, play action type of stuff. That's his strength. So you're going to have to establish the running game first. So I expect someone like a Torrey Mack to be kind of the breakout guy, maybe a Perry Jones to be a breakout type of guy on the offense, because we know they want to run the football. We know they want to kind of pound it, and then take a shot. So I would look at the running backs first, and then guys like Tim Smith is the wide receiver I'm really looking at, because he has great speed, got some experience last fall, and he was such a star down in high school. So, you know, I expect him to catch at least a couple deep balls, you know, for touchdowns. He'll probably catch some other yardage, just based on what they're trying to do.
And Chris Byrd is still a heavy part of the equation, right?
Absolutely, yeah. He's had a pretty good spring. Coach London just mentioned his name yesterday, along with Dontrell Inman, a couple of names that we're familiar with, along with Jared Green, as all being guys who have kind of been in the mix this spring. All those guys have been in the mix previously, particularly last year with the spread. You know, you had three, four, five wide receivers on the field at a time. So all of those guys have made plays already in this system. Chris Byrd, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, he doesn't jump off the page as being the fastest or being the biggest deep ball threat or whatever, but he sure does seem to be open a lot when you watch him play. So I think he'll be a factor.
Yeah, we're visiting with Chris Wright of the Saber tonight. And, Chris, if you're going to run the football, a lot of that depends on the offensive line. What is happening in that regard? I know there's a couple of spots or positions that are open for new people. How is that shaking out?
Yeah, no, they've got to replace the center because Jack Shields left the program. He's having some back problems and just decided to give up football. Anthony Mahota, a young man from up around Fredericksburg, is the guy kind of packed there. He started the Virginia Tech game a couple years ago, when Shields was hurt for that last game in Blacksburg. So he's been in there some, not a whole lot. So he'll probably take over the center role. The other spot they're trying to replace is Will Barker, who started a ton of games in a row out there at right tackle. They've moved Ode Obuchi, who was a backup on the left side last year, over to the right side. And he's lining up with the first team right now, along with the returners, Landon Bradley at left tackle, Pastor at left guard, and B.J. Cabell at right guard. So those guys are all back. The big key there, though, is will they block better? You know, I think people are a little skeptical of the offensive line because, you know, they haven't done a whole lot in terms of consistent, you know, protection of the quarterback or consistently pushing people off the ball to run the football. So those guys are going to have to get better. It'll be interesting to see if a new scheme will help them do that.
How's the depth on the offensive line?
They've got a lot of young guys behind them, so there are names there. We don't know a whole lot about their skill level necessarily, you know, in terms of guys who have played a lot. You know, Isaac Kane, the walk-on from down in the Virginia Beach area, he played some. Obuchi played a little bit last year, but now he's on the front line. Beyond those guys, we haven't really seen anybody in games. So, yeah, there are some names, a couple guys from Ohio, Mihalik and Van Kuken, and names like that that you may remember from recruiting, but nobody that's really proven themselves yet. So they've definitely got to can build some depth there somehow, whether it's just putting them on special teams units or something to kind of get that group growing. The one name I'm interested in keeping an eye on is Lamar Milstead, who's a big recruit that came down, I think, Virginia, North Carolina at the time, was, I think, a four-star recruit. So he maybe can get into the mix as one of those second-line guys and maybe have a breakthrough under this new staff.
Also, we're waiting on Cody Wallace and Morgan Moses to make sure that they are, you know, accepted and then matriculate over this summer. So it's, in theory, those guys could compete because they're huge.
Yeah, well, Wallace could compete immediately, just depending on how Mike Price is the backup center right now, depending on how he develops. Cody Wallace played center all last year at FUMA for Coach John Schumann, so he's a guy that could factor in pretty quickly. Morgan Moses still waiting to see if he gets his score to be able to get in and then to be able to enroll. I think if he does get in, he'll become an immediate factor somewhere along the offensive line, even if it's just in spot duty. I think he'll play immediately if he gets in.
Doesn't Moses take the test this weekend?
I think he's taken the ACT this weekend or something
right, like that. Right.
So, you know, he's taken the SAT previously, and he's trying to get the score. He's working really hard. Coach Schumann has been very complimentary of his work ethic in terms of trying to get that score posted. He just hasn't had a whole lot of success yet in getting the number that he needs.
Now, his grades supposedly are pretty decent now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think his grades are pretty good now that he's been at Fork Union. You have to get your grade number to match up with your score number.
Right.
There's a certain threshold you have to meet based on what your grades are, you know, and all that kind of complicated mumbo-jumbo. I know that he's probably close from what we understand, but you just can't count these guys definitely being a factor until they're definitely accepted by admission.
Hey, Chris, again, we're visiting with Chris Wright of the Sabres. Let me go back to Mark Verica. What is your assessment of him as a thrower of the football? Is arm strength, is he accurate? How would you judge or would you appraise his skills throwing the football?
I mean, the first thing most people talk about with him is he's just got a lot of moxie. He's a battler. He'll come in and he'll grind. You know, he worked really hard last year, even though it looked like he would never really get on the field unless Sewell or Hall both got hurt. That ended up happening, of course. He ended up playing in one of those games last year. But that's the first thing people think about. When you talk about his skills, I think the biggest knock on him, and I think it's still going on now, are the gap between his worst throw and his best throw. He's not real consistent, or the gap is too wide. When he does make a bad throw, it's really bad. And it may be just be because of a bad decision or just bad execution or whatever. He just got a
now. What do you mean by bad throw? He misses receivers, throws into coverage. What do you refer to as a bad throw?
I think it could be either of those things, but misses the receiver. So, like, if we just take the same pattern, for instance, if you take just a simple go down the sideline as fast as you can, go route. You know, sometimes he'll throw that right in stride, but when he misses it by like 6 or 8 yards. You know, he doesn't miss it by a yard or two. He's just way off with it. So if he can get those worst throws to be closer to his best throws, so it's not as inconsistent, that would help him a lot as a quarterback.
Looking at the offense right now, wouldn't you say that now that they've gone back to a more disciplined, more of a traditional style of offense with regular, spacing between the linemen, formations that most of the players are far more comfortable with. Don't you think that with Verica's skills and experience over time, don't you think that this offense will be a little bit more steady and capable of growing and improving between now and the first game of the season on September 4th against the University of Richmond?
I think the system they're running fits Verica's skills much better than the spread did. Okay, like being under center and having to take a drop versus being in the shotgun, play action rollouts, quick decisions, you know, where you throw a quick little sit-down pattern or slant pattern or whatever, those things match his skills very, very well.
Good.
So I think he will improve just being in this system and being in a consistent system more than he showed, say, last year in particular when he really struggled kind of with the spread. If you remember back to the year that Lalak got, you know, his situation, ended up at Oregon State, all that stuff.
Right.
Mark Bear actually played very well in the middle of that season, all the way up until he fumbled against Miami in what looked like it was going to be another drive down the field to lead Virginia to a victory. He fumbled, and after that, he's been up and down. So if he can get his confidence back, and Coach London keeps saying that, I think he could be a very solid senior starter for Virginia.
All right, so we've got the Spring Festival this Saturday. The team walks on the field to start their exercises and stretching and so forth at 12:30. The actual live scrimmage begins at 2 o'clock. Give us your sort of mini preview, if you will. What should fans expect?
Yeah, Coach London said that the first part will be individual drills, things to help them get warmed up, you know, like passing drills, running drills, the thing you may have seen in a typical open practice for the fans that have been to those. Then they'll take a little break, and they're going to announce the captains and some award winners, including the Rock Weir Awards, which go to the most improved players on offense and defense. And then they'll go into the scrimmage style situation. What they're going to do is they're going to put the number one offense and the number two defense on the same team against the number one defense and the number two offense. So they are dividing them very specifically into teams. It won't be just a full-fledged game, though. They're going to put them in specific situations, you know. So red zone, driving out of your own end zone, like if you get pinned inside the 10. They're given very specific situations, but they will be divided into two teams that will be competing on the scoreboard.
Well, Chris, we appreciate, as always, your joining us tonight. I think we're all looking forward to a fun day on Saturday afternoon to learn a little bit about the football team. I think the weatherman is going to cooperate. It's supposed to be a beautiful day on Saturday. So thank you again for joining us tonight on Who's Talking, and we'll look forward to your next visit.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Chris Wright from the Sabre. We will be back after these commercial breaks with our first Capital Bank play of the game, among other things.